there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. So here it is.
Yes, I'm still sick.
You are still sick some 5 weeks later.
But who's counting?
I am because at 6 weeks, I will be done with my recovery.
Woo-woo.
And from the hernia surgery, and hopefully then being able to help you and transferring and everything from that point forward. I think I'm grateful for everything that we've had, for all the extra caregivers. But I'm also grateful and looking forward to where it's just you and me, just where life settles down a little. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense, but in the most nonsensical way, because our life is crazy busy in the summer. But, you know, we've been blessed to have all kinds of wonderful caregivers over the last 6 weeks, and now it's going to be you and me, and I look forward to that.
As do I. I think that, and if you want to reflect, we'll have links in our show notes how to hear back to a previous episode where we talked about my hernia surgery and what that's done for us as caregivers. But I think really what we wanted to talk about today is truly just when you're diagnosed with MS, just the myth of moving on. Where you know, because I think when you're diagnosed, there's always that sense and hope to come to terms with it, accept it, and move on. But it is a question of when you are living with a chronic progressive disease, do you really move on? And I'm like looking at that, I think maybe because we are with March being MS Awareness Month, which is exciting, but it's just a question then, do you ever move on when you have MS? I mean, Jennifer, when were you diagnosed?
I was, as I've talked about in the past, I was diagnosed 8 days after my 23rd birthday. And that was in November of 1997. So, yes, I'm old. And I was completely blindsided. I had no idea what multiple sclerosis was. Or, you know, there wasn't the Jamie Lynn Sigler's, the Christina Applegates, the Jack Osbournes of the world when I was diagnosed. I saw Annette Funicello, but there really wasn't much, and I didn't have MS in my family. How about you, though?
I mean, I was diagnosed in 2000, and no, I didn't know anything about MS. I mean, it was, you know, when I worked at the Catholic Weekly, our webmaster had multiple sclerosis.
Really?
Yeah, but
I don't think I ever knew that.
I mean, it was just, you know, but it was interesting. It was like, not that I think it was just it's like I had heard of multiple sclerosis, but it's just like, you know, when she said, "Oh, I have MS," I didn't really pursue it because I'm just like, I'm thinking, oh, well, that's okay. I mean, you know, but it's, you know, she walked with a cane, but she also was older. So it didn't really register with me. But, you know, once you are diagnosed with MS, it totally gives you a different perspective, or you obviously see things differently. So, that was a thing. So you're diagnosed, I'm diagnosed. Was it ever a thought at that point that you would be able to move on? Did you ever think, oh, I'll be able to move on when this happens? And
I laugh when you say that, because I remember being diagnosed and I was having a particularly active exacerbation when I was diagnosed. And my neurologist at the time gave me a week-long course of Cimedrol. And boom, the MS was, the symptoms were gone. You know, I was having trouble walking and I had optic neuritis, just thinking back to when I was diagnosed. So he gave me the steroids and boom, it went away. And I thought, oh, the MS is gone. So of course I can move on. I will be all better. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I thought. Little did I know, you're never all better from this disease. So I was naive when I was first diagnosed. And I thought that, yeah, I would be fine. How about yourself?
I think I wanted to get to a point where it was just there. I've talked about, you know, the accident when I was 11 months old that left me blind in my right eye. And so for anybody who's always had vision in both eyes, it would be devastating if, you know, you went blind in one eye right away. And so I wanted to get to the point where my MS was like the blindest in my right eye. I mean, I obviously I don't think I really noticed because I barely ever knew that I could see out of both eyes. I mean, I was 11 months, so everything was new. But it's like I never think about my blindness in my right eye until somebody asks me, what's wrong with your eye? Or I need to make a joke about being blind in my right eye. Mm-hmm. You know, so I wanted MS to be at that point where I never thought about it. And so little did I realize that MS will never become something I never think about. And so that was something in my that I eventually realized that this was going to be always there.
That's a really, that's a really deep question. Something maybe for our next support group meeting, our in-person support group. I would be curious, and to those of you listening who are living with multiple sclerosis, do you ever have moments where your MS, you don't think about it? I mean, I was diagnosed, good heavens, what was that?
3 decades.
Yeah. Almost 3 decades, almost 30 years ago. And I think about this disease all the time because it impacts every move I make. And so I can't imagine waking up in the morning and not thinking about multiple sclerosis. And I think it would be interesting to ask the group members, do you ever have days where you don't think about it?
And I think, yeah, for group members and then for everybody in listener land, I mean, do you ever have days you don't think about it? And, you know, let us know. I mean, come to our website is acoupletakesonms.com or send us an email, acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. Just let us know. Do you ever have times when you don't think about multiple sclerosis?
And do you ever have times when you don't think about multiple sclerosis?
I think, you know.
Do you really?
Well, I don't.
Well, I'm sorry. I was just.
This is just a look in your eyes. It's like, I mean, but I don't think about it all the time. Obviously, it's there. You're always aware of it. But it's not like 24/7 MS is always on my mind. I think that.
Yeah, I think that's true now that I'm being fair. Well, yeah, I mean, thinking about it, like we can watch a movie or I can be out to dinner. And that's kind of, I think that's why acceptance is so difficult with this disease, mm-hmm. especially for me. So we can go out to dinner. We can be at Freddy's eating some food, having some fun, having some drinks. And everything is good until Freddy's gets crowded and then, of course, I have to think about my multiple sclerosis because I have to squeeze my wheelchair out and have people move at their tables. I mean, that's so silly, but just that, you think about that, that's MS. And if I wasn't in the wheelchair, I wouldn't have to do that. So even the little times when I'm having fun and being carefree, boom, there comes the disease.
And I guess then the question is it the disease or just life. And I guess that's the thing.
How can you separate the two?
Can you? I mean, is it the acceptance that that's just the way of life? You know, because I think too then, we'll use Freddy's. They should like sponsor this podcast. Oh,
would that be amazing?
But you know, we'll just use that as an example. So yeah, Freddy's, you know, we'll just say what it is, you know, they serve us, you know, but I know that just as part of the caregiving part of this, you get the awesome Freddy's burger. I have to cut it in half for you. And that's just a thing. That's just what we do. But never do I think, oh, because Jennifer's got the MS, I need to cut this in half for her. I'm thinking, oh, I just need to help her to cut this in half. And I know that if you help me finish my beer, or you drink your own beer, that, you know, to start it off, I either have to slurp it off the top or help you lift the cup, you know, or the glass of beer until it's light enough for you to handle. But never do I consciously think of that as being MS, and thinking that, yeah, when we get home, I will have to help transfer you in the bathroom. It's just like, that's just a way of life, but never is it like, damn that MS. I mean, that's just what we do. I mean, I have to be careful when I lift up the glass for myself, because my hands are numb. So I can't just willy-nilly just grab the beer and drink it. I have to do it slowly because I have to make sure that I have the glass in hand, but never am I consciously thinking MS, 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 MS. You know, it's just like, oh, my hands are numb. I have to do this. That's just my way of life. Thereby then, all of a sudden, is that my blindness in my right eye that I just don't think about it? I mean, it's like I think about what the effects, but I don't think about the disease.
Yeah,
that was a long answer, babe.
That was, and I suppose, you know, nothing is worse than, and we've talked about it in the past, when people will like see my wheelchair and say, oh, you know, boy, I wish I had something like that. Or, you know, I don't want to end up in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. So the acceptance, whatever a kind of acceptance you and I have, that's one thing. But then society, our support group, our friends, our family, that's another kind of acceptance. Boy, it's a big subject.
Yeah, it's just like the acceptance, but then it's a question of, you know, have you moved on, you know, thinking you personally, have you moved on since your diagnosis? But it's a question of how had other people, or have other people, the public, society, pushed that notion of quote unquote moving on? Because do you ever still feel like people are like, MS again? Haven't you moved on? Haven't you? Why do you keep doing it? I mean, I think in the sense of, and I'm putting words and thoughts into your heads, but I mean, it's just like every year that we do the MS walk and you ask friends for donations to support and feel that feeling of like, they gave last year, they're going to be like, I give everywhere, when every year, when is this going to be done? Do you feel like there's societal pressures forcing you to move on?
Yes. But I think the reality is, as more people are finding out about the disease or knowing more people who are also living with the disease, mm-hmm. the pressure isn't there as much. Or if people are like, I don't want to keep having to give to Dan and Jennifer's walk, then those are the kind of people that maybe we aren't as close to, or we don't ask as much. And it's unfortunate, but if you're my friend, you can see how it's affecting me. You can see that I'm a little slower, or that I'm struggling a little bit more. And maybe that helps to make people accept or realize that the disease is true. That's, you know, there is, I think, you know, bad things happen to people. This is life. And if you don't want to deal with someone who has a chronic illness, or if it's too much to deal with a friend who's getting a divorce or who has children that are terrible, rotten to them, or for likewise, if you have friends that are uber successful and you're just like, I can't deal with that, then you isolate yourself. And maybe that's something with the MS. That's why people isolate themselves, is they have friends that don't want to talk about it all the time, or they themselves. Sometimes I don't want to talk about this darn disease. I'm like, ugh.
Yet here we are.
But here we are. We have to. That's our, you know, gift, burden.
Opportunity. Well, but, yeah. But it is. But it's that we're not doing this until we're ready to talk about it. That it's like, you know, just some days it's just like, I don't want to talk about MS. I don't want to do quote unquote MS. I find it interesting, you know, in the samples you talked about as far as friends having rotten kids or friends who are going through a divorce and stuff. Interesting in the fact that those are to a certain extent limited time things. Kids grow up, people get remarried, people find new relationships and stuff. This MS is always here. And with us, it's a progressive illness, and so there's things that continue to get worse. I mean, maybe you know, your brains don't show activity, but it's almost like over time, as you get older, you have to renegotiate everything that you're dealing with the MS, and so this isn't going away. Whereas a lot of times, other things there are very short. Not short term, but I mean, there are things that do disappear with age and time.
Yeah, I know exactly. I think I understand what you mean. Like if your friend is getting a divorce or your friend loses a job, you can get another job. You can find a new person to spend your life with, hopefully. Or this is chronic. This will always be here. I think it's not to bring it back to my dad, which I find myself doing a lot lately. But, you know, my dad died. Mm-hmm. And just when I think I'm over it, boom, it's right there. It's baseball season. It's the Olympics. I want to talk to my dad. That's kind of like a chronic illness where you think you're over it and then it's right in your face. So I don't know if you can move on from this, or, you know, you can try, but it's how do you move on from something that's always with you?
But this is why we have this discussion. This is why we're putting it out there for you and me as two people living with multiple sclerosis who are caregivers for somebody living with the disease. But then it opens the door for others to have these conversations and to think about it. And then also to create awareness for everyone who doesn't have the disease. Just like it's a question of have we moved on? And I honestly don't think you ever can move on, as it were. I mean, I've gotten used to and accepted that my hands are always going to be numb. Nothing changes with that. And some days are worse, but I also know that they'll get better. But at the same time, you can't move on from that. It's like a question of deciphering between moving on and accepting.
Well, as I told you first thing this morning when we woke up, I don't even think we had woken up. It was at like 6 o'clock this morning. I had a dream that I was walking and it was good. And I was walking. That's
right. Okay, yeah.
And my caregiver, Jen, was in the dream and she was following me in an old school scooter. And she was following me. And I could walk, and it was beautiful. And then you wake up, and you're like, oh, I don't walk. And so that, it's never done. And so I think to have those dreams, they're good because I was killing it. I was walking, I was tootling around, and it was, I don't want to say it was carefree because Jen was following behind me in case I got tired and needed to sit. But I was walking and it kind of, I was like, oh, I can't wait for those days. And this conversation is a little bit different as a 51-year-old, whereas if I would have had this 20 years ago when I was 31, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's going to happen in my lifetime. But I'm like, I don't know. So you adjust, you accept, kind of like you said. I just don't know that you can ever move on or...
What's that like for you then? Because I know we've talked about, you know, again, the dreams when you're walking and you wake up. And it's just like, what's that like for you? I mean, just when you wake up and it's like, oh, that's right. I don't walk. I mean, and that's like, is that like having to relive and go through that grief all over again? Or it's kind of like, you know, dreams where you're having a conversation with your dad. I mean, I don't want to make you sad, but I mean, just what's that like? Because like you say, you think you've gone through it and you're done, but something always comes back.
It always comes back. And, you know, not this is comparing watermelon to apples. I'm saying, you know, my MS and your hernia surgery. But I'm sure when you first got done with the surgery and the first night that you slept, you woke up and you're like, oh, shoot, I'm in pain. I still have to be really careful. I can't transfer Jennifer. And so that, you know, did you wake up and feel like, oh, crap, you know, but then you knew, okay, give it 6 or 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be able to do it again. And, you know, like you said, you can. You're a writer, for heaven's sakes. You have dexterity problems. Mm-hmm. And you're also a caregiver for a wife who I haven't stood on my own with you in 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so there's just so much that we are... It's going to be difficult. Is that how we move forward? Is like the standing, for example. I haven't stood for 8 weeks, 6 weeks, five weeks. 5 weeks,
yeah.
So when Wednesday comes and caregiver Jen and you and I stand and we do it and we're successful, is that going to be like, yes, that's such a good feeling of success? Where we're not even going to think about the fact that I can't walk. I'm going to be like, so what? I can't walk, but I at least can stand in pivot transfer to use the bathroom. I can pivot transfer to get into bed. I don't have to use this to stand. I don't have to have my arms hurting. I don't have to be Hoyer lifted into bed. You and I can stay up as late as we want. You don't have to be in bed by 10:30.
You don't have to wait for a caregiver before you can go to the bathroom. I mean, it's just like, I'm here, we go.
Yes. So is that small successes? Is that what we're supposed to remember and be thankful for? And not just be like, oh, but I'm never going to walk again.
And I think, but it is. I think, yeah. And again, it's like it's to where it becomes the routine. It becomes the quote unquote, you know, and I know we're not a fan of the quote unquote my new normal, because this truly, you've had MS for over half your life. So it's just like, you know, MS, that is more normal than a life without it, so to speak. And, you know, I'm there with you. I think it's next year is when I will hit that threshold of being living with MS longer than I had it without. But it is that thing. So I don't think it's a question of, I don't think you ever can move on from MS. You move on from, is it the acceptance is what helps you is at that moment that you move on, because it's not.
I feel comfortable in saying I move forward, you know, kind of like Pastor Dana's sermon today. Just be grateful and find gratitude in those moments. And so it is those moments when I can stand and pivot transfer, or when I can, you know, when I'm able to lift my arms and fix my hair, or I can cut my own dinner. You know, no, I hate to say this, it's very Debbie Downer of me. I don't know that I will ever walk again. You know, I'd like to believe it. I just don't know if I will ever walk again. But I will. I mean, I can't wait until Wednesday. And if I can pivot transfer, I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. I missed this so much. When our marriage will be back to just you and me. Thank the world to you, Jen. Blessed to have Remy and Belinda and all the caregivers that have come into our house these last few weeks, the seven people. But when it's just you and me and we have our normalcy and our privacy and our routine back, I think I won't care that I don't walk. I'll be like, yes, I can get into bed with my husband's help. Can use the bathroom. I can stay up. I can sleep in. Yeah, maybe that's something that for those of you listening to this, you just need to be grateful for those little moments. And I say that as a person who's lived with this disease for almost 30 years. And I don't think when I was 31 that I would have been grateful for just the small moments. But now,
Well, and it's the I think that's the big thing, is it's all about the gratitude, and that's not positive thinking, and that's not undermining people's feelings of loss, but it's like it's that being gracious for what you do have and what you still can do. Because it's, you know, I think we always. It's like thinking back to the glory days, thinking when you're in high school and thinking how awesome that was. And why is it so easy to move on from those days? I mean, just in the, and is that where you know that, like, high school, there's a time limit. You can never go back to that. I mean, now I'm quoting, you know, Eddie Money. I want to go back and do it all over, but I can't go back. I know. But it's just like, you know, is that where it's easier to be able to let the days of high school when I was awesome in speech, you know, I can't say I was awesome in sports because I wasn't, you know, but it's just like, but you know, you have that time limit that's like, okay, you graduated, you have to move on. And is that why it's so difficult with MS? Because you can't move on because there is no time limit and it continues to stick and hang with you. How are you able to, like you say, you're not moving on, you're focused on moving forward?
Yeah.
Which is a couple takes on MS. I'm walking, I'm rolling, but together we're moving forward. Well, I didn't try that to tie that all
that
up.
Was,
but I mean,
lovely. That was well done. You're good like that.
But I mean, is that what it is? Is it okay to not move on? Do we as people living with MS have to embrace that reality? That you can't and you should be okay with not moving on, that you need to focus on moving forward.
Well, because our body said, no, you're not going to move on. You're stuck. I mean, and that's really, really negative. I've often thought about my life, and I should someday write this down, that I'm in prison. You know, for God's sakes, I'm stuck in this body. Sure, I can maybe lose some weight. Woo-woo. I can change it that way. But, you know, my nerves are shot. And until something like that changes, I'm stuck. And so maybe, you know, the idea of moving forward is a fallacy because my body's like, ha ha, I'm bigger than you, stronger than you. You're never going to beat me. God, that's depressing. And I don't want to be like that. So that's why I'm just going to be happy for the small successes. We should just, sorry.
No, I mean, but that's where we are. I mean, it is like you've done you're doing a 28 years of a, you know, lifetime sentence, you know.
But I didn't get to do anything like rob a bank or
nothing fun like that.
Yeah. Not that I would think that would be fun, but I'm serving. I'm serving a life sentence and I didn't commit a crime. I should write a country song.
I think you should. But at the same time, look at what you have done with your MS. I mean, it's just a question of we haven't, you know, whether or not we moved on, we've moved forward. But it's like, I don't feel as though the disease has defined me. I think of everything that we've done in spite and because of the MS. And it's like the MS didn't do that for us. We found the strength to do it and find and move forward. So that's why we've been able to go to Washington, D.C. and advocate. That's why we met each other and got married. That's why but it's like how you do it. And it's the gratitude of moving forward. I'm not moving on.
I think it would be very interesting to anyone listening to this who has a little more energy than I do. It is 7:45 at night.
Wow.
Yeah. Or no, it's 6:45. Excuse me. It's 6:45. I don't have my glasses on. Sorry, Erica. But anywho, when I'm tired, because I am tired, it's that time of day. That could be study worthy, is like just how the time of day affects your personality, affects your outlook. And I'm tired, so I'm kind of being, I don't want to say unfairly negative, but, you know, at the same token, I'm tired. I'm hungry.
Is this where we're honest when you're tired and hungry? It's kind of like being drunk. You're just like that's for next time.
Yeah. Podcast. But it is true that just, you know, sometimes your glass is half empty and the same glass could be half full at 8 o'clock in the morning or at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I'm sorry for anyone listening, but this is real Jennifer and I'm trying to be optimistic. And again, I'm trying to think about the small successes. And I do genuinely find promise and happiness in that. And I look forward to you getting better. And I look forward to spring. And I look forward to doing all the fun stuff that we have planned for the summer. So,
absolutely. Yeah. So, I guess then moral of the story, I mean, Is moving on with MS a myth? Can you move on?
How about you can move? You can move one step forward, two steps back, one step forward, three steps back.
Or three steps forward, one step back.
It's like a cha-cha.
Exactly. Well, it is. So I think it is. It's not so much the question of moving on. It's giving yourself the grace to be upset, but then the motivation to move forward.
Just keep moving.
Amen. Wow. Well, thank you all for listening. But again, let us know how have you moved on, or is it possible to move on with your MS? Follow us on our website is acoupletakesonms.com. But send us an email and let us know. we'd asked the question earlier, are there ever moments in your day where you forget that you have MS or don't think about the disease? And then just how are you moving forward with your MS? Send us an email at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. So until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman and I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman, who's rolling.
And together, we're moving forward. Take care.